And thank you. I want to thank my guest in advance. I've got Henry Clemens back. Last time I had he and his wife here, and I felt like I just did not have enough time to just dive into this amazing brain that is sitting across from me today. So again, I'm Lindy Lewis. Welcome to Let Your Color Out Life. I like to talk to people who pursue their passion and purpose and sometimes take the road less traveled, which isn't often easy. And the fun thing right now in this crazy world, this upside down world, as we all come out of COVID and see the world just sort of blowing up in different pockets, is for us to find resources and tools in our own community and different aspects of support. So that was one of the other reasons I wanted, initially I'd talked with Henry to come on because he was going to do a cleanse and talk about the body's ability and cleansing process. And he's got some new things he's going to weave into that. But I want to just thank you very much, Henry, for coming back. And again, Henry is the one who started Tendrils Apothecary right there on Cedar downtown. And he and his beautiful wife, she's the medicinalist behind a lot of the products. But Henry's putting the business side of it together and really doing some of the case studies. We were talking about a veterans program he's launching. And so we're going to get into all of that this hour. And thank you, Henry, for joining me again on Let Your Color Out Life. You're certainly one of those pursuing passion and purpose.
Yes. Thank you, Lindy.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
Yeah. Wonderful. Why don't you just go ahead, and one of the things I thought I would do is just dive in a tiny bit to your credibility. Henry's also, you've got a psychology degree, and we've got all kinds of just great wisdom that you can to bring into our Sandpoint listeners, or North Idaho listeners, I should say. We're reaching beyond just Sandpoint now.
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell me a little bit about your background and what got you into this point. Like, were you always healthy? Let's just start there.
Okay. Yeah. So I grew up playing sports, and I got into playing semi-professional hockey when I was a teenager, actually. And I played into my 20s, went to college to play hockey, and it just wasn't quite a good fit. So instead of going into summer training camps and whatnot, I just zipped up my hockey bag, and then I packed up a backpack and I moved into the wilderness and literally spent several months every year living in the woods just as a wild person.
How old were you?
I was 21, okay. I suppose, when I made that transition. And for the next almost 10 years, I would spend 3 to 4 months a year living out in the wilderness all by myself, which it's a fantastic experience to go completely crazy out in the woods by yourself.
Wow. Like, I can't even quite imagine that. There's these, you know, Vipassana, these silent meditative retreats. And I'm like scared to death to do it because I'm like, oh my gosh, I couldn't talk for 10 days. I mean, I can't imagine 3 months.
I remember one point I recognized I hadn't spoken a word in several weeks. And so I sort of then was concerned that perhaps I would lose my ability to speak very well, you know, sort of forget the language.
Literally. I mean, you could.
So then I began chattering to all sorts of things outside in the woods, yeah.
Or singing or something. But
just
yeah,
making noises again,
but I think, just as a little tiny sidebar, but I think that's a like a neural net in the brain that if you don't, I mean, I always say this in the body, like I promote yoga and mindfulness and really, you know, if you don't move it, you lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if that's the same concept with speaking.
I used to be able to speak Spanish pretty well, but it's not there anymore, so.
Yeah. Might come back, though. It's maybe muscle memory. So you did these 3 to 4 months just solo journeys just to sort of for self-discovery, for health. What was your purpose behind that?
I had no purpose. It was just a drive. It was where I wanted to be, I suppose. There was no necessarily deeper motivation at that point. And that was just in between, you know, sessions of college and whatnot. So mm-hmm. I attended the University of Vermont. I finished a major in religion in 2 years because I only studied what I want, and all of the rest of the things, you know, I didn't care. So I didn't go after them. I've never really been that great with following all of the rules, you know. The box has never fit me.
Yeah.
and from there, I moved from Vermont to Colorado into Boulder, and I attended Naropa University, where I got a degree in psychology, and it was also a mixture. There was a lot of poetry and traditional medicine also in that degree, and the idea behind it was that if conventional medical wisdom is prose or prosaic in nature, then the ancient modalities of medicine are poetic in nature, a heart-based language as opposed to
a head-based
language.
Wow.
And so I developed a degree around that was sort of centered around psychology. I also integrated a number of traditional apprenticeships. Specifically, my longest-running mentor was a man named David Young, David Atakpatsin, and he was a Lipan Apache Mexica. And so I studied really closely with him for a number of years. And then, of course, I went down to Mexico and did crazy things in the desert with people and down into South America and starved myself in the jungles. And then we actually used to just wrestle with these big caimans in the middle of the night and dug out canoes. It was quite a bunch of adventures. And then after those things, I sort of had a wild hair. I wanted to, having grown up in the conventional medical world, my father he's a veterinarian, but he was the black sheep of his family. All the rest of them are human medicine specialists, physicians and surgeons and whatnot. So I grew up, luckily, in the OR with him, and which was a great experience, doing all sorts of things. And then my mom was a conservation biologist, and she studied at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So I grew up there working in the dissection labs as well. So I was very inundated with the science aspect growing
and
up.
And sort of the conventional Western medical
models. That's exactly right.
but
as I, sort of grew out of that and then entered into my major rebellion phase, then, of course, I went the opposite way and I studied Tibetan medicine and Chinese five-element medicine and, traditional modalities. I kind of hesitate to use the word shamanism because that's a touchy subject.
Well, it can come with such a label.
There's a lot of baggage in that word.
There is.
Not a shaman.
Yeah, right.
Well, but I just studied with
scare people, or there's judgments and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So. But I studied with some people
that just know nature.
Fantastic capacity to help people in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And then again, coming back to this wild hair, I thought, well, perhaps there is a point where these many modalities converge. And at this point, there is a synergistic capacity for a deeper level of healing to occur for people, wherein no specific modality is ever cast out. All of the walls, all of the boundaries are dissolved, and we simply see all of these things as tools. And each tool, being properly applied, gives us the greatest ability to handle whatever's arising in front of us, be it psychological, be it
physical,
be it broken bones, IBS, everything, the entire spectrum. And so then I actually started developing a conference, which I was still pretty young. I started a thing called the Convergence Conference, and I had physicians actually from all over the world who are huge, huge, well-known physicians who had agreed to come and speak at my conference. And their path was one where they became physicians first, and then they went out and studied these alternative modalities. And so they had been able to walk this path of integrating greater perceptions of medicine than just a specific modality. And so the big hang up was finding funding for somebody like myself who...
Well, and at a time it wasn't. Now I think it would be a very popular conversation.
Oh, yeah.
But I think back when you were sort of pushing the ball up the hill,
yeah,
that's a, it's a brave ask.
It was. And plus, you know, I just had my first child and had, I was studying molecular biology and biochemistry. Again, when I study something.
You just dive in, don't you?
You know, 20 something credits of only hard sciences, plus, you know, a full-time job more or less and all the rest. So
yeah.
I tend to go hard.
Just completely immerse yourself into it.
And unfortunately, I think that sometimes hinders my ability to accomplish some of these beautiful dreams that I have. But I also have the capacity to hold on to these ideas. So we've already begun recultivating the idea of the Convergence Conference now that we're here. We actually have a place where we can hold them.
I think you'd have more participants. I think Western medicine, you know, is really starting to, even in their science-based, modalities, they're trying to bring in a little bit of those different healing aspects.
And I think I'm really hopeful about this too, because research is the backbone of science, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then that research and that science, that hard science, goes into, eventually percolates into our medical paradigm. But we're very safe and very metered about it, which is fantastic. It should be that way. And when it's not, then that's unfortunate, but it should be that way. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that research is guided by funding. So
absolutely.
Who's funding the research? That's just one issue. The other issue is the box that people are coming from when they're creating the research. So each of us exists within a framework, be it our cultural norms, our cultural rules, the things that we're taught by our family, by our community,
absolutely.
What's possible and what's not possible. True science does not dismiss anything until it has shown itself to be dismissible. So things, unfortunately, that, like, for example, prayer, you know, and things like that,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, they are dismissed as something that is...
Not provable.
Well, because it's not provable, it's dismissible.
Right.
And
right.
So people have stopped looking for how can we begin to test this?
Mm-hmm.
Where can we start looking for the efficacy of this? You know, how does it function? Because I heard it said, I think it was Dr. Joe Dispenza said that a miracle is something that happens once. A coincidence is something that happens twice. And anything that happens more than twice is simply a mechanical function that we have not figured out the mechanics of yet. We don't know how to reproduce it, but sometimes it happens here and here and here. So, for example, Dr. Joe Dispenza, it seems like you're familiar.
I am.
Lindy's eyes got big when I mentioned his name to all the listeners out
yes,
there.
Yes, I do think he's quite a remarkable human.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so what he's working on is... Essentially, he is figuring out the science behind faith healing, which a lot of people are familiar with, those faith healings that happen at the big gatherings
and stuff
like that. But if it can happen, and if it can happen more than once, then there is a mechanism. And if we can discover that mechanism, then we're able to tap into an entirely new realm.
Mm-hmm.
Of possibility.
Yeah. I could maybe be even as simple as faith and belief and trust.
Faith and belief is so important.
Just put it out there. I mean, I didn't think when I got diagnosed with MS, I'd be running around making a garden.
Well, you know, it's crazy too to think that, for example, the placebo effect.
Oh, we're going to take a quick break.
Yes.
We have got, and I want to talk about the placebo because that is the power of the mind. And I'd love, when we get back, again, I'm talking with Henry, and clearly this hour is going to go fast. But Henry Clemens and he and his beautiful wife have started Tendrils Apothecary that has such an interesting variety of healing modalities, not to mention just their brains that are on the team. I mean, they have some physical modalities you can be a part of, which we'll get into a little bit later. But the placebo effect, we definitely want to talk about that when we get back in healing and health. And again, I thank you all for listening. Bear with us. We've got a short break and we'll come back. And thank you for listening to North Idaho Radio.
Lindsey Buckingham, live in concert. U.S. Tour 2022. The Bing Crosby Theater, Saturday, April 9th. Get tickets now at ticketswest.com. Lindsey Buckingham. The new album, Lindsey Buckingham, is available everywhere now. Check more at lindseybuckingham.com.
April rain's not a bad thing, especially if it's raining cash. The Kootenai Casino in Bonners Ferry is making it rain cash every day this month with our big super progressive jackpot, midweek hot spins, and weekend daily double hot spins. That's more chances to win and win big. Midweek room rates are just $79 for a Kootenai Lodge room and $99 for a Riverview room. And we'll throw in breakfast for two. And April is Pasta Month in the Springs Restaurant, where we're offering four delicious pasta dishes for just $12 each. Choose from lobster ravioli, penne primavera, steak bistecca, or chicken angelina. Hey, it rains a lot in April, so come to the Kootenai Casino, where it's raining money all month long. More games, more specials, and more chances to win big. To book your April money shower getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Jim and Sunny reminding you it's always no problem at Parker Subaru in Coeur d'Alene.
The Subaru Ascent is a dual threat as both a family-friendly SUV and a versatile all-purpose vehicle. The Ascent sticks to the Subaru brand blueprint, offering safety and versatility as standard features. It's comfortable here in the Northwest on sand, gravel, and snow. The Ascent has the power for passing vehicles and handling corners with good acceleration. It offers the Subaru symmetrical all-wheel drive system and 5,000 pounds of towing capacity. This SUV delivers an enjoyable ride for the whole family with seating for seven or eight, a sweet infotainment system, and many state-of-the-art premium features. At Parker Subaru, we have a full service department with fully certified technicians who will ensure the job is done precisely to Subaru specifications.
After your research, visit Parker Subaru to get all the answers to all your questions from the friendly, no problem folks at Parker Subaru, Highway 95 in Coeur d'Alene.
I'm an Idaho parent, and my kids attend our great public schools. This year, Governor Brad Little invested more in my children's future than any governor in the past two decades. That means my kiddos will have highly qualified, certified teachers, and investments in early literacy programs will give my youngest a jump start so she can read to me at night and give mom a break. Governor Little listened to Idaho parents. So please send a message of thanks to the governor for his work this legislative session.
Paid for by the Idaho Education Association.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
All right, welcome back. We are carrying on this wonderful conversation. I have, again, I'm talking with Henry Clemens, who has started Tendrils Apothecary, and I'm not here to just advocate for this really beautiful healing center, but also just to anybody out there who's listening and struggling with some sort of health issue, or maybe raising a child, or the labels that we're putting on people these days. You know, even when I got diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis, I mean, that's such a big label. Like, automatically, I just thought, oh, well, I'll end up in a wheelchair. And that is so difficult. You know, if you just are joining us, we were talking about how hard it is when you are slapped with some of these labels and these ways of, you know, you start to play into that. And so Henry and I, that started this wonderful conversation about the placebo effect. But if you want to circle back to that, I'd love your insight on that.
Sure. well, the placebo effect, I think, actually falls right in line with this part of the conversation because of the power of the mind. So it's really interesting. When I was 15 years old, I was hospitalized for several weeks and diagnosed with severe bipolarism and, I don't know, a whole bunch of baloney, right?
ADHD, OCD.
Whatever it was. Well, definitely not. Definitely not OCD. Because
Okay. I just went through that with one of my little people.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. There's a lot of labels out there, which I think, you know, I've always said it just helps you learn more about yourself before you buy into the whole story. I mean, that's kind of my, you know, my books are about that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just, you know, you got to still do your part and Absolutely. Empower yourself in your own health.
That's right. But also the labels are helpful in some aspects, but they're actually, I think, very destructive in other ways. And I may catch some heat for this if anybody out there disagrees. But
I think it's a conversation where, and hopefully we're not making anyone angry, but I would agree. I mean, labels are strong.
They are.
You can, I always talk when I teach in jail, mm-hmm. I talk to those kids. I'm like, you will live your label. You have to, you will be a juvie. You will be a thief. You will be a, you know, a bad kid, and you're not. You know,
right.
So I just want to set that up. So let's not, this is just North Idaho Radio and we're just having a great conversation, but go ahead, Henry. I support that.
Yeah. And the placebo effect of a label, and now I'm not coming from any place of research on this. I'm coming from a point of personal experience. You know, for example, if I was told that I have a depressive disorder, and that essentially I am therefore doomed to always have this depressive disorder because it is now a label that's been put on me. Now, I think that all people struggle with emotions. We go up and we go down. But once we grab onto, if we grasp and cling onto a label, then that becomes a piece of the identity. And if that becomes a piece of the identity, how much more difficult will it be to heal from an illness of identity than a biochemical situation? Biochemical machine things, the machine we can fix. We can work with that, especially the mind. The mind is...
And that's the physical aspect.
That's right, the physical aspect.
Right, I just wanna...
And even the mental aspect, mm-hmm. the machinery of the mental aspect. Because if you look at how does the mind work, it creates these thought loops, et cetera, et cetera. It creates these identities. It's all the different filters through which we perceive the information that's coming. Like, information is coming. It's clean.
Mm-hmm.
It's neither good nor bad. No matter what information we're receiving, it's neither good nor bad until it goes through filters, dangerous or safe, pain or pleasure, et cetera, et cetera. And then we get to all the way down to this person is yelling at me and, you know, they're terrible.
Right.
Or simply perceiving it cleanly as information. So then these labels in the of the mental framework, then you go through that filter of information coming and it makes me sad because I'm sad, because I have depression. Things like that, they become so difficult. So my labels never really stuck, and I refused all of the medications, and I struggled like so many people do.
Even with the medication, I think there's struggle.
Oh,
you know? I mean, again, I just, my experience is working with
some people really need the medications too. Other people, maybe not, you know, but it's like, unfortunately, oftentimes people see we have very limited tools in some of the conventional realities. They have very limited tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they're working with the tools that they have. I used to be a carpenter as well. If I only had a hammer and a nail gun, none of the houses that I built would be that beautiful.
Yeah. Gotta have a saw.
I gotta have a fine chisel too.
Yeah.
You know, you need all of those things. In fact, the more intricate and beautiful the work that you make, the more tools you need to have, not only access to, but skill and mastery in using.
Well, I think that's a key right there, is just sort of the mastering. I mean, that's sort of the life journey I've decided for myself. It's
Absolutely.
Just learning to... Oh, I'm getting off the rails again. It's not depression, Lindy, or it might be a seasonal thing, or you're maybe just sad today, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And just allow myself the space, the grace to just have those moments and know that I need some self-nurture. So come to tendrils, do a float, whatever it is.
That's right.
You know, those are, and but that is, it's kind of the mastery rather than totally buying into the label that I have ADHD or that I have, you know, multiple sclerosis. I mean, because those are some big time labels that you will live if
that,
we
yeah,
don't
exactly
interrupt
right.
it. And it sounds like you had that same experience, and that's a little bit of the black sheep, circling back to that original conversation, first part of the hour. That's us sort of saying, wait, I'm gonna just do my own dance and continue to try to navigate this the best I can, which is the back to the mind.
Absolutely. But I do want to emphasize that I'm not advocating that people just go it alone. You know, if you need help, get help. If you are on medications, be intelligent about it. You know, if you are on a medication, you want to get off, don't just stop cold turkey.
Or just find other support.
Mm-hmm. Find the right support. Do it intelligently. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that since we're speaking publicly and not just behind closed doors type
thing. Right.
You know, I'm very much an advocate for being crazy, but not stupid.
Yeah, I think that's good. But so your experience was not taking any of the medications and learning. I think that's probably one of the reasons you did immerse yourself in all of these different modalities. It's like, I want to figure out this for myself.
I was having experiences that were not commonly accepted in Western reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sought out other cultures who were familiar with these types of experiences and had people who were masters in working with them, mm-hmm. as opposed to simply trying to suppress them.
Gosh, yeah, Henry, this is a great conversation, such a good topic, because there are so many things that are just emerging now, and it's wonderful that you've kind of spent the last, you know, 15, 20 years bulking up and really strengthening that, so you're really primed to now help others bring that in. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue to talk with Henry just about this, maybe mastering the mind or whatever comes up for us. Thank you very much for listening to North Idaho Radio.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
This Thursday, Super One Foods in Sandpoint is having a 12-hour produce sale and a Ninkasi Brewing Company event. The produce sale is from 8 until 8, and the Ninkasi folks will be on hand from 4 until 6 with samples of their new canned cocktails to customers 21 and older. Jeff McLean here. I'll be broadcasting live 3 until 6 with special giveaways, and Super One will be serving up barbecued hot dogs and a pop for just $1. Hope to see you at Super One Foods in Sandpoint this Thursday.
Cabin fever got you down? Hitch up the team and head on over to Mountain Traders, a one-of-a-kind consignment trading post featuring quality used furniture, antiques, taxidermy, metal and wood art, jewelry, and more. From pistol socks to fool's gold, there's something for everyone at Mountain Traders, and they've added pulled pork to their menu. Open Tuesdays through Sunday. Located on Highway 95 in Elmira, halfway between Bonner's Ferry and Sandpoint. Mountain Traders.
A lot of people are moving to our neck of the woods to enjoy our amazing outdoor lifestyle. If you're new to the area and have purchased 10 or more acres of timberland, there's something you need to know. Mother Nature doesn't always play nice with your forest. Weather extremes, wildfire, windstorms, disease, and invasive bugs can all destroy your newly purchased forest land investment. But Idaho Forest Group has a program to help new landowners just like you. We'll schedule one of our experienced foresters to conduct a free, no-obligation assessment of your timberland. We can then come up with a plan to increase its health and help prevent damage from whatever Mother Nature throws at you. And if merchantable trees are removed, you may choose to sell them. Being a timberland owner requires having a forest management plan. Idaho Forest Group can help. To schedule a site visit by one of our foresters, visit ifg.com.
Need medical care? Knowing the care level needed and where to go can be stressful. Prepare for the unknown by establishing a relationship with a primary care provider before you become ill. Identify and note the closest ER and immediate care. Know how to access your health insurance information easily. At Bonner General Health, we provide emergency, immediate, and primary care services conveniently located on our hospital campus in downtown Sandpoint. Let us take the guessing out of your medical care. For more info, visit bonnergeneral.org.
We'll be right back.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Let Your Color Out Life with Lindy. I am talking today with Henry Clemens, who he and his wife have started Tendrils Apothecary right down there on Cedar Street. And again, one of the reasons I do this show is, of course, I love the body. I love the body's ability to heal itself when you give it the environment to do so. It doesn't always do it, but you can help. You can always, there is help there. And one of the things that we were just talking about is the power of the mind. And I really appreciate Henry's perspective on just the power of the mind. And we were talking a bit about the labels that we can often be given. And of course, we do need Western medicine. And I couldn't be more grateful. I don't think I could have managed MS because initially I was in such a tight box about what could happen. And I was in such a fear-based state that I needed the Western medicine support to get me through, first 10 years of the diagnosis. And now I'm really experiencing, and I'm kind of, expanding my mind and looking at different possibilities to live well with a serious illness and keep my body in sort of a stress-free environment so that, it's a sleeping giant, as are a lot of these autoimmune diagnoses that we've been given. So with that, Henry, I wonder if you could just, I think if somebody were out there listening today and knowing you've just spent, a half hour talking about this amazing amount of education that you've gotten and collected. But if somebody were just sitting there, I've just lost my joie de vivre. Joie de vivre is one of my favorite words. But that spark for life, that passion, that joy. And What would you suggest for them? Go to a doctor. I loved you talked about getting some support, that sort of a thing. But what would you suggest, or even weave in, some of your different modalities, or given your own experience, what could you recommend if someone just needs a little pep talk, even?
a little pep talk is difficult to generalize. There's a lot of sort of easy things to say. So easy to say, so difficult to do.
Always, isn't it?
And I don't ever want to risk coming off as maybe too generic. We see so I'm a health coach. I'm a habit change specialist. And just to back up for one second, one of my specialties is actually integrating and working with physicians and the clients of physicians, with the nutritionists, with whatever primary care practitioners that a person has. Oftentimes, and this sort of gets back into my story in that I got into habit change and psychology and all of this type of stuff because I used to work in the ER, in a few different ERs in Boulder, Colorado area. And during that time, almost everybody, aside from, even people who got into terrible bicycling accidents and things like that, 99% of the people that we saw coming through the doors, for whatever reason, it was a lifestyle-related situation. Especially all of the chronic illnesses. But again, if you're a cyclist doing crazy things and you have a bad attitude on the road, then you're more likely to end up meeting with a car. So again, lifestyle-related illness, even though it seems like an acute situation. So I found myself, as I drew closer to attending medical school, which I had several invitations for, feeling increasingly helpless. And watching as all of these people came in and kind of were put through the conveyor line, and we give them oxygen and we give them an IV and we patch them up and do whatever life-saving interventions were required at the time, and then send them back out, and then they'd come back again a little while later, and the lifestyle illnesses had continued. And so often people are told, and even when I was shadowing with physicians or, acupuncturists or naturopaths or whatever, I spent most of my life immersed in this reality. So often the answer is lifestyle change. And unfortunately, people have grown into this habit of seeking a magic bullet. So often.
A pill. Yeah.
Can't you do this for me? I keep on overeating, and which is a real struggle.
It is.
I mean, I've dealt with it myself.
I understand it myself, absolutely.
But,
sweet tooth,
you know,
for
can
me.
You give me a pill that'll make my stomach? I get indigestion when I eat too much. Mm-hmm. Like, no. We have to look at what's the root cause. Otherwise, it's like having a dam that's got holes in it and we're sticking bubble gum in the holes. No, that is not the solution. Those same cracks, those same holes are going to appear somewhere else.
I like how you talk about it. It's a lifestyle
and worse
illness.
We're so blessed to be in this country where lifestyle illnesses are our main factor for illness. What a wonderful thing that overeating is possible in our country. I spent a lot of time in third world countries with people that would love to overeat. You know, it's a wonderful blessing. But with those options comes actually more stress. There were studies that showed that the average child in the United States experienced more stress on a daily basis than children from third world countries that had come out of war zones. And the reason is because of all of the inputs and all of the choices. Sometimes choices can be paralyzing.
Henry, it's overwhelm for me. I mean, I think that's why I cannot stand food shopping, because I'm just
the grocery store is terrible.
I just wanted a loaf of bread. I don't,
that's
you know,
right.
I kind of want it good for you. You know, it's crazy.
And so people who have lost this spark, oftentimes it's overwhelm. There's too much. There are too many things. There are too many holes in their dam, and they cannot plug it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would have to look at, as a health coach, as a habit change specialist, I would have to assess, like, okay, well, where are you at? What are your habits? Is there any place where we can start to shift that? And
weed things out. What things
out.
Don't bring you the joy?
That's right. And
that's
I'm,
one of the things.
I'm
and oftentimes it's people.
Yeah.
You know, it's energy.
I'm holding
others.
A free class in, I don't know, a couple of weeks or something. It's called the 1% Revolution. It's free.
I saw that.
Because I want to give this to people, and if they can use it, please, please use it.
Mm-hmm.
So the 1% Revolution is based on a good amount of information out of a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it's a fantastic book. Everybody should get it. And it's something that I use a lot in my practice. James Clear is brilliant. He does a lot of evidence-based work around, you know, dissecting what are habits and how do we change them, et cetera, et cetera. Even though I've been schooling for this and stuff, he's truly one of my favorite resources around it currently. And there is a lot to be said about making small changes. Oftentimes when we have bad habits that are literally killing us, we say, okay, leave the doctor. I have high cholesterol. I have to change my diet. I have to reduce sodium. I have to blah, blah,
that
blah, blah, blah.
That alone is overwhelming.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, what?
The doctor just told me 20 things that I have to do that I already know I have to do. And I've known I've had to do it for 10, 15 years.
It's illuminating the
haven't
deficit.
Done it yet.
Yes.
Like, thanks, you know, thanks for nothing, truly.
Well, we appreciate it, but it's just, we won't make that change.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And so how do we make that change? Mm-hmm. When you're standing at the bottom of a mountain, looking up at like, oh my gosh, I have to start working out. I hate working out.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And interestingly, that mind, that's an identity. That is an identity.
You mean the hate working out thing
is
an identity? Yeah.
All of those habits are not habits. They are aspects of an identity that we've created.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing about the mind is so malleable. It can change. Every moment it changes.
I think the mind, this is what I find. We have to take our last final break here already. Our flu. But it's like you give it a trick. It's give it something to think about. Like so think about doing a little better than you did yesterday. The better than plan is what I call it in book two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little better. Maybe just implement one of those aspects of it. And
1%.
That's the 1%, it sounds like. It's the better than plan, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll be right back. We'll come into our final break, and we will talk to you a bit about, maybe how you can get in touch with Henry if you need some habit changes or for coaching or just enjoy the facility that they're creating down at Tendrils. Thank you for listening to North Idaho Radio.
I'm all about keeping my family driving safe. Dad, pothole.
Got it.
So I insist we choose Les Schwab tires for safety services like brakes, steering, and alignment. Stuff those cheap tire centers don't offer. Because I want a backseat drive with confidence. Dad, speed check.
At the Les Schwab Spring Tire Sale, save up to $150 when you buy select tires with financing. Les Schwab Tires, celebrating 70 years of doing the right thing. Limited time offer, terms and conditions apply. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
17%. That's how much woke Jim Woodward jacked up Idaho's budget this year. And for what? Woke universities, critical race theory, expanded Obamacare, and even more woke leftist school indoctrination? Woodward's 17% spending hike is more than double Joe Biden's inflation. And it gets worse, much worse. Woodward joined the woke mob, stopping parents' rights to know what schools are teaching. And Woodward gave teachers' unions veto power over school board rules and flipped on parents by keeping COVID shutdown regulations. Woodward calls himself a Republican, but woke Jim Woodward doesn't vote like one, scoring just 28% on the Idaho Freedom Index. Woke Jim Woodward's failed Idaho taxpayers and always puts us last. Call Woodward 208-332-1000. Tell Woodward to stop being woke and start fighting for Idaho taxpayers. Paid for by Idaho Freedom Action.
With hot, dry summers occurring more frequently, our forests are in more danger than ever. And whether you've lived here a long time or are new to the area, you will be affected, especially if you own forest land. Droughts weaken a forest's ability to fight off disease or invasive bugs. If you own 10 or more acres of forest land, Idaho Forest Group has a suggestion. We can schedule a free, no-obligation tour of your property and help design a plan to minimize the damage to your timber inventory from bugs or disease. Our goal is to make and maintain the health and value of your forest land investment. And if selective thinning is suggested, you may choose to sell any merchantable trees that are removed. Bugs and disease can take a toll on your timberland, so a visit by an Idaho Forest Group forester can help minimize your losses and maintain a healthy forest for years to come. To schedule a free site assessment, visit ifg.com.
Lawn need a boost? Let Pro-X Home Center help make your yard beautiful this spring. Pick up a 3-round bag of Best Garden Sun and Shade Grass Seed for only $5.97. And check out their huge selection of Jonathan Green grass seeds and fertilizer. Ask about the New American Lawn. It's never too early to plan your garden. Pro-X has soil, seed starter kits, seeds, watering tools, hoses, mulch, manure, and so much more. Pro-X Home Center in Bonner's Ferry, your hometown everything store.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. We have just about five or six. Thank you for listening again to this radio show. This is Let Your Color Out. And again, the purpose of this show is just to remind people that they have so much ability and power to make just, we were just talking, Henry and I were just talking, and I'll get back to when he has his class on this, but that just a little better than you did yesterday. Like, I feel like that's where nobility lives. You know, you're just like, well, I did a little better than I did. I didn't eat 3 ice cream bars. I ate one. You know, whatever, if that's where you're at today, then perfect.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's absolutely
right.
And
it sounds like that's the 1% rule.
The way I see it is, if we're on a boat that is sailing for the next 20 or 30 years, I mean, my boat hopefully has 40 or 50 years left in it, maybe even longer. But if we change the rudder position by 1 degree, how much, you know, what's the difference in the direction in our final place? Significant. And some, again, the magic bullet thing, people want it to be fixed right now, and it ain't going to happen.
Well, it took your body about 10, 15 years maybe to build up that.
Absolutely.
Problem or issue. Mm-hmm. So you got to be patient.
And struggling to create new habits is if you're just looking for habits, then those habits are destined to fail. I'm sorry to say, the truth is that we have to struggle to create new identities. Because once those habits cross that threshold from habit into identity, then you move from being a smoker into a non-smoker. And that's a boundary that you're no longer interested in. You're not even tempted to cross back into, which is a boundary I myself have crossed. And so, you know, these are really the keys. Like, we're not looking at habits. We're looking at, we don't look to create the habits that I want to have so I can live the life that I want to have. What we're looking at is, I want to move into who I want to be.
That's beautiful.
And so many people, there's this, we have an idea of who we can be, who we truly are, in that lives inside of us. Everybody, all of my clients, I've over and over and over and over again, I see this. We have this thing, we know who we are, who we can be, and who we kind of feel like we should be. And then we see the self that we have in the mirror. We see the things that we do that are not in alignment with that. And the gap between who we know we are and who we're living as, that gap is, in my little, you know, idea, is one of the greatest sources of stress that we experience in our life. This difference.
It's that constant berating.
And all of the negative self-talk that goes in. I mean, it's just like, even when we're not actively hating ourselves for not being who we want to be.
Oh my gosh.
There's just this friction.
Yeah.
This frictional static that's going on that's just prickling our very soul.
And it's so.
And so how do we merge those two? How do we come closer to it? It's not.
Awareness. Awareness, absolutely.
Awareness is the first step.
Yeah.
And then we begin creating a pathway from who, and I work backwards with my clients. Who is this person? Okay, let's look at the picture even with even more detail. What are their habits? And then a lack of clarity is one of the biggest problems that people have. Like, oh, I want to go to Coeur d'Alene, but I don't know where Coeur d'Alene is.
Right.
Well, you're never going to get there.
Henry, we have got about a minute left. I mean, the nice thing about this is we sort of left you with a cliffhanger. Henry is available for anybody out there who's like, okay, there are some habits there. I'm ready to step in. I'm ready to be patient. And again, one of the things I promote is being, you know, giving yourself some space, holding space for yourself to go through the process and grace. But Henry is available at Tendrils Apothecary on Cedar Street. And they have really an amazing variety, plus just the resources to coach you through. So if anyone wants to reach out, if you're wanting any of these changes or just to explore it, go into Tendrils, say you heard him on the radio, and he will continue this cliffhanger because there's so much. Henry, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, and real quick, anybody who says they heard an interview on the radio, you get 10% discount on some of our services. So come in and say it.
Say, what was that stuff? We don't know what you're talking about, but hey.
Blah, blah, blah on the radio. But anyway,
Lindy,
I want my discount.
Lindy and Henry want me to feel more empowered in my health. And that is the premise of this show for me, is just step in. There is so much power and possibility in healing your own body when you put your mind and in that right space. And gosh, we live in the most beautiful place on earth. So we've definitely got nature on our side.
That's true.
All right. I want to thank you all for listening to North Idaho Radio. And Henry, real quick, I think we've got a second. When is your 1% class, if anybody would like to hit that?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
It's coming up. It's on the website.
Okay. It's on the
TendrilApothecary.com.
TendrilApothecary.com, or just reach out to them and stop by. Thank you so much for listening. Have a beautiful, beautiful spring day.